Chapter 9, The Creatures. We endeavored to show how the wisdom of God is displayed in the wonderful works of creation, and we now wish to treat a little of what the scriptures declare concerning the creatures of his hand, especially as to man, the chief of those here below. In the first place, it must be said that they were created for his glory. He has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Proverbs 16, verse 4. God was all sufficient in himself, and needed not to have made any creatures. But it was his own pleasure to do this, and therefore it is said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4, verse 11. This was in his eternal mind and purposes, and that the earth should be created and man upon it, as the head of all his lower creation. How beautiful was the whole first creation, as having come, as it were, straight from its Maker's hands. What a comely order and appointment attended each step of its formation, until the whole was finished, and God rested from his works therein. One divine fiat followed another, and each made the way for its successor in an orderly harmony, until man appeared with his appointed dominion over all that was upon the earth and in the sea. The light was called into being, and the waters separated from the dry land, so that the earth appeared and brought forth grass and the herbs and trees in abundance. Day and night were established, as the sun and moon were created to rule over them, and the stars to follow their appointed courses. Then the waters were made to bring forth the fishes and the fowl, and the earth to bring forth the cattle and beasts and creeping things. And now, all being in a perfect readiness, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and breathed into him the breath of life, so that he became a living soul, created in the image and likeness of God. Herein there was placed an inconceivable distinction and difference from the brute creation. Man became possessed of a living soul, which is answerable to its maker, and was thereby set upon an entirely different plane from the lower creatures, nor can any theory of evolution dispose of this divinely appointed distinction. The soul of man, being created in the image of God, is immortal. And whereas when the beast dies, it ceases to exist, the soul of man goeth upward to appear before God when the body dies. Who knoweth the spirit of a man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Ecclesiastes 3, verse 21. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God, who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. So man was given dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Genesis 1, verse 28. And the psalmist celebrates this whole order of the creation in poetical language of great beauty. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, Psalm 8, verses 3 through 9. So man became possessed of a living soul, capable of serving and worshiping his great Creator. The other works of creation show forth his praise. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 19, verse 1. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Habakkuk 3, verse 3. But this is only as they show his eternal power and Godhead, as being the marvelous works of his hands. They have no capacity to understand the being of God, or to render obedience to his mind and will. This is reserved for man, not forgetting, of course, the holy angels, who are also his creatures and delight to know and to do his will continually. But man was given a soul, whereby he was capable of knowing, serving, loving, obeying, and worshiping his Maker. He had a mind to understand and know the Lord, affections to love him, a will to serve and obey him, and a conscience to receive the impression of his approbation or displeasure. Here then were the creatures, the work of his hands, and a beautiful order and harmony pervaded the whole. To complete the happiness of man, the woman was formed from his own flesh and bones, to be a loving companion and help to him, and that they might be fruitful and multiply upon the earth, as did the other creatures. The Lord God also made the beautiful Garden of Eden, in which they were to live, and the man to till and dress the earth. He also condescended to come himself into the garden in the cool of the day to commune with them. And it was doubtless their great delight and happiness to be so entertained, and to render to him their grateful praises for all his goodness to them. Here then was man, the chief of the works of God upon the earth. We have to consider his relationship to his Creator. It was meet and proper for his Maker to prescribe the limitations and boundaries of that obedience which he was to render. In the garden, this consisted in a prohibition respecting one of the trees in the midst of it. They were not to eat of it, neither to touch it. Of all the other trees they could freely partake, and this commandment was not grievous to them. They realized their great indebtedness to their Creator, and that all they possessed was due to him, heart and strength, soul and mind, and their bodies also. This they willingly gave, and their great delight was to obey their God, believing that he was only good, and could only command that which was for their good. This was the beautiful relationship under which the man and woman were created, and in which they lived. While they continued in the path of obedience, they were rewarded with the presence and blessing of the Lord, and sweet communion with him. He was their all, their Creator, and the great object of their worship and adoration. His will was acceptable to them, and to know and do it was their chief delight. All that was for their good and happiness they freely received at his hands, and rendered to him their humble gratitude and thanksgiving. As the creatures of his hand, they were the objects of his love, and their whole soul went out in love to him in return. The immortality of their being only added to this their happy condition, as it assured them that their felicity would not end so long as they continued in the delightful path of obedience. O happy state, which would have continued but for the sad sequel which we know brought it to a grievous end. Satan was allowed to tempt. They were drawn away of their own lust and enticed. sin was conceived, and this brought forth death, James 1, verses 14 and 15. This dreadful fall brought their blissful condition to an end. No longer could they obtain the favor of God by their own obedience. They were expelled from the garden, and that way of access to the tree of life was forever barred by a flaming sword which turned every way, Genesis 3, verse 24. Having once disobeyed, no future obedience could prevent the awful consequence, which was death, spiritual death upon the soul, death of the body to follow, and eternal death and banishment from God. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, Genesis 2, verse 17. Yet, because the punishment must be everlasting upon the body also, this must be raised again from the dead, to appear before the judgment seat of God, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. But, blessed be God, the matter was not left there. And who can express the love, the goodness, the kindness of God, that he should have provided a way of escape from these awful consequences? He was not taken unawares, but had made a merciful provision against this dreadful fall, which should take effect in myriads of his fallen creatures. This was nothing less than to send his own beloved and only begotten Son out of his bosom, and give him up to sufferings and death, so that being made man, he should bear the punishment due to their sins, and they be set free and blessed with everlasting life and felicity. In their case, while the body must still suffer death, their souls shall rise to everlasting bliss, and in due time their bodies also be raised and fashioned like unto his glorious body, and then joined to their immortal souls to be forever with the Lord. How concerned, then, we should be to make our calling and election sure. For those whom he has thus predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son are in this life called by grace, justified by faith, and eventually glorified. If quickened with divine life, we shall be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Such shall therefore have cause for everlasting thankfulness, that they were ever made the creatures of his hand, that they might thus be made new creatures and brought to inherit that new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, 2 Peter 3, verse 13. May we be found amongst them.